Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everybody. You know, it takes so many people on a Sunday morning to pull a worship service and Sunday school and a meal together, and that takes even extra when we're outside. So thank you to everyone who's been a part of making that possible, and thank you, congregation, for your flexibility and your graciousness as we do so. I was delighted last week at our worship service when many of you were willing to stand up and share something either that you've learned or about your life with God or about something you're grateful for. This takes courage. This is not the easiest thing to stand up and share something about our lives with one another. And it's really important and valuable because it strengthens our relationships with one another. And it got me thinking about how for the Anabaptist ancestors of ours, some of the things that they suffered, I brought with me our martyr's mirror today. You're welcome to look at it afterwards. I thought about some of the things that they suffered for proclaiming their faith. I learned about one man this week in particular. His name is Hans Brett. Hans Brett. And his story stood out to me because of a number of things that he did. When he was young, he was 21 years old, when people came to his house, took him from his house, and put him in jail because of proclaiming Jesus. And they put him in jail, and from his jail cell, he wrote many letters that we have documented here. And some of the letters he wrote were to his mother. And in the first letter that he wrote to his mother, he said two things about the Holy Spirit that caught my attention since this is Pentecost Sunday today. First of all, he prayed for his mother that she would be comforted by the Holy Spirit. 21 years old, he knows that the Holy Spirit can bring comfort. And then secondly, I was going to read this quote to you, but it's a little bit too long, and it's got all the hitherto fancy language. But basically, what the second point he's making is that he has been strengthened while he is in prison. He has been strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. So when it was time for him to go to his execution, beforehand, he was one of the people that they put a screw through his tongue so that he could not speak. It is sad. Yes, we can cry about things here, Linda. After his persecution, someone who was there when it happened dug through the ashes and pulled out the screw and gave it to the family. And it has been passed down from generation to generation to generation as a treasured heirloom. And their words about him were that he was faithful to his captain, Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine having that kind of conviction about your faith? No, we don't have to worry about tongue screws anymore in our Anabaptist faith. And yet, in the church, we still inflict harm on one another at times. And listen, I regret every word or deed I've done that has inflicted harm on someone else. Now, the common thread between our suffering that we experience in our life and the suffering of our Anabaptist ancestors and the suffering of the disciples that we'll get to in just a minute, the common thread here is what Justin read about at the beginning of our scripture passage. The world hates you. No sugarcoating it. Tell it like it is, Jesus. The world hates you. Now, the setting for the disciples that they're in right now, Jesus has just said this. He's already told them he's going to be leaving them. He's already told them that he's going to die. And in just a little bit, he's going to tell them that they too are going to be persecuted and die. And in the middle of those two things, Jesus tells them again about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is here so that we are comforted in our weakness and sorrow. The Holy Spirit is here to strengthen us, and most importantly, among all the other roles, strengthening, encouraging, comforting, advocating, most importantly, the Spirit points us to Jesus. All throughout Scripture, we see that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to point to Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, what we can see from this is that the people there were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we might be asking, and actually some here have already been asking, well, how do we follow the wind? How do we follow? It seems easier to follow the law than it would be to follow the Holy Spirit. So how do we follow the Spirit well? Why do we do that? I'm hoping to answer some of that in the rest of my sermon today. It reminds me of the evangelist. I don't know why he did it this way. There was an evangelist who, when he told people about Jesus, he did so. He told them all about Christ. He brought them into relationship with Jesus. They believed. He sent them out. And then about a month later, they would come back to him and they would be so discouraged and dismayed that they couldn't follow Jesus in the way that they had hoped. They had hoped to leave their life of sin, and they hadn't experienced the empowerment to do so. And it was at that point that the evangelist told them about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us. And we have this problem in the church too. We often neglect speaking about the Holy Spirit, focusing much more on Christ. And it got me thinking about how at Pentecost, when the people were filled by the Spirit, it was for all people. All people. All people. We all need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift that has been given to us. Thank you, Lori, for my prop today of our gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to all of us, and yet we keep trying to push down this lid and keep the Holy Spirit all boxed up, which of course we really can't do because the Holy Spirit's already been poured out. But we try to keep the lid on, and for logical reasons, right? Because, you know, for myself, I spent a long time afraid of the Holy Spirit because it was called the Holy Ghost back in my day growing up, right? That gave me some fear and trembling. And also because it seems like in our Anabaptist thinking, we tend to be a little too afraid to get too close to the Holy Spirit, because what if that makes us start speaking in tongues? Anybody? Right? No offense to anybody here who has the gift of speaking in tongues. We all need the Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? How do we follow the Spirit well? Well, I want to give three practical tests that we can use in how to follow the Holy Spirit. And these are tests that we do for ourselves. If we put these on somebody else, we're going to be judging. It's not going to work very well. These are tests we do on ourselves. The first test is the Jesus test. Does what we're sensing from the Spirit, or does the direction we sense the Spirit leading us in, does it sound like Jesus? Does it look like Jesus we know in Scripture? Now, this can be messy, right? Because we have six streams of spirituality, which are all valid, which are all rooted in Christ and rooted in Scripture. And yet, if we sense that the Holy Spirit is telling us to take from the poor and give to the rich, well, we can be pretty clear that's not of the Spirit, right? Or similarly, if we sense the Spirit telling us, hate your enemies, retaliate to people who hurt you, we can be clear that's not of the Spirit. That doesn't look and sound like Jesus. The second test that we can use is the community test. We were born into community when we were baptized. We became members of a church. We belong to each other because the arm and the leg have different vantage points. The ear and the spleen have different understandings of life. We need each other in the church. We belong together. And so if you're trying to discern something, gather a few people together who you know and trust and who are people who think differently from you do, from how you do, and listen together. Use these three tests together. Jesus, community, and then the third test. I'm going to call this the wind effects test. There are many things that we could talk about here as this third point, but I'm going to call this the wind effects test. It's like Peter. Do you remember how in Matthew's gospel, there's a storm raging, the disciples are out on a boat, and Peter gets out of the boat and he goes to walk to Jesus. And do you know what he says? This is what the writer in Matthew records. He says he saw the wind. Well, let's understand what the writer meant by this. You don't see the wind. We can't see the wind. We see its effects. We see the leaves blowing on the trees. Peter would have seen the water tossing and turning. We see the effects. So there's two effects that we can look for in this test. The first one is fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we're doing this for ourselves. We're not judging others. Can we see evidence of fruit of the Spirit in our own lives? And children, I need your help here. Many of y'all for the last 8 or so years have been singing a song with the fruits of the Spirit named. So any of you are welcome, and adults too, if you know them, you're welcome to name them with me. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Excellent. And we might do that again. So children, be paying attention for that. You can join in. And adults too. Are those fruits of the Spirit evident in my life? And would the direction that I'm sensing the Spirit is leading me, would that bear fruit of the Spirit? Or would it bear ego or anger or something else? The second part of the wind effects test are the gifts of the Spirit. Every person here who has committed to Jesus has been given gifts of the Spirit. Things like wisdom and discernment and prophecy and, yes, speaking in tongues and preaching and teaching. Everybody has been given gifts for the strengthening of the church. Are those gifts evidence in what we see or sense that the Spirit is leading us into? Three tests to help guide us. Now, as I said, these are tests for ourselves. So I want to be real clear. The comment has been made here. How do we live when 12 congregations are leaving or being closed in Virginia Mennonite Conference? How then do we live? If we try to apply this to other congregations, that's not going to work. And my intent here today is to preach to this congregation, to the people here and online, part of Zion Mennonite Church. It's great if other people are listening. That's not my intent. My intent is to speak to the people here. So, and I want to be clear, the congregations that are leaving, many of them, I'm not familiar with the congregations. They're in other districts. Some of them I don't know well, and some of them I do know well, and I do see ways that they are earnestly seeking to follow Jesus, and I do see ways that they are bearing fruit. So we do this best when we look at ourselves, those three tests. Now, I want to go back for a minute to 2019. For those of you that were here and for those of you that weren't, this was a very painful time in our congregation. We had many people leaving the church and in essence saying, we understand things differently and we can't reconcile. Now, what I want to be clear and say to you all today is you all have done so well. You have learned new skills. You've grown in dependence on God. You've grown in learning how to put Jesus at the center. You've grown in learning how to do outreach more and more and to be focused on that. And, you know, we've been a caring congregation for a very long time, but we learned a new skill of not just caring for one another in our distress and in the challenges of life. We've learned how to care for each other when we have differences. I could go on and on about the things that we have learned. You have done so well. Now, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, I mentioned that the people there were filled. Filled doesn't mean, you know, a little bit. It doesn't mean halfway. It means filled to the full. And what I notice is we're still a little reluctant about the Holy Spirit, trying to keep the Holy Spirit at like 10 or 20 arms length away. And we are missing out. We are missing out on the Holy Spirit's encouragement and power. I want to tell you a story about the power of the Holy Spirit. This was a long time ago, before my time. There was a little girl. She was about 6 or 7 years old. And she was playing outside. It was a beautiful day. And this was back in the day when people discarded their refrigerators. They just left them outside. They didn't do like we do now, where you actually like wrap something around it to seal it, or you seal the door shut. This was before then. And she's outside playing on her own, and she's curious. And she climbs into the refrigerator, and the door swings shut. And the seal seals, and she can't get out no matter how hard she pushes. Fortunately, this young girl knew about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so she prayed a big prayer. She said, God, I know how big you are. I know you are powerful. I also know that you made yourself small like a baby. And so I know you are in here in this refrigerator with me. And so on the count of three, we're going to push as hard as we can, and we're going to try to open this door. One, two, three. And the door goes open, and the girl is fine. Because she relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be really careful in how I'm saying this here, because sometimes we rely on the Holy Spirit's power and things do not go as we planned or as we hoped. It is not about our faith. And yet God is still faithful even when God is mysterious. I want to leave you with a visual, an analogy for our role in the church. And this, you've probably heard of it before. It's kind of a common visual that we are to put up our sails. This is how we follow the Holy Spirit, is by sticking up our sail and letting the wind of the Spirit carry us along. Because when we do that, we can do far beyond what we ever imagined was possible. I used to think that my role and our role was to pay attention to what God was doing in the world and to join into that. I no longer think about it quite that way. It's less about me. I now understand that my role is to stick up my sail and to let the Holy Spirit carry me along. Because look, when the wind fills the sail, the boat can move. If there's no wind, there's no movement. This is the way that we can follow the Spirit. This is the way that we can be led by what we cannot see. May we see its effects more and more. Amen.